Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, after the start of this week's episode of Raw, and why? Because the Judgment Day's music started to play, which means the meme is real. Also, hello, my friends, and welcome to Ups and Downs on Monday Night Raw, and you will probably notice I am now in another brand new location as I do tour the East Coast of America, and a few people told me they are coming to see the Last Match musical rock wrestling experience this week, so I look forward to seeing you, but I don't stop doing the ups and downs. But we do have to be quite quiet because it's late here in America, which is the only issue about watching Raw live. I wake a lot of people up. What does that mean? Let's up those downs. We did get some sucky news to start here because Michael Cole and Pat McAfee told us that Drew McIntyre will not be in the King of the Ring because he's got a bad elbow. When we cut to Damian Priest, he was like, I whipped Jey Uso's ass a backlash. He did. Apparently JD McDonagh and Finn Balor had apologised to Damien after all this too, because he got mad at the pay-per-view premium live event, when Priest was like, no bro, this was my fault, I shouldn't have attacked you afterwards, and they all hugged. And I was like, what was the point of all of that? They once again told us they're the most dominant faction in all of WWE, and all groups tell us this, so I don't know what to make of it, when Finn Balor said, I will now prove it, because I'm going to go on to win the King of the Ring. He is in the tournament. Given that he was going to be facing Drew McIntyre, he was also doing the Dance of Joy because he thought he got a bye. I was like, you need to start looking at social media, Finn. I mean, WWE already announced this. You're taking on none other than Jey Uso. Adam Pearce clearly does run the Twitter account, though, because he came out and he told Finn Balor this, and Finn just got really, really mad. Once again, I was like, Balor, I don't want to be that guy. This is totally on your shoulders. He also banned the rest of the Judgment Day cronies from getting involved in this, so you could see what was happening here. We were about to give Jey Uso his win back. And let's face it, that guy does need a win. Before we do get into all of that, though, I am going to throw a quick random down in here, though, because WWE had announced a bunch of King and Queen of the Ring matches for Raw, including Shayna Baszler taking on Zelina Vega, and including Kofi Kingston versus Rey Mysterio, where here the commentator just went, well, you're not actually going to get those two on Monday nights, and instead they're just going to be on some random WWE live event. So I don't think we can even watch it. This just irked me for some reason, especially the Kofi versus Rey one. Just wait until you hear the Kingston promo later. No need to talk through my teeth like I'm Sid Justice. It's getting it down. It was then right into the men's King of the Ring, though, because yes, it was Jey Uso taking on Finn Balor, and Jey got the 1-2-3. I do have to say that Finn Balor is another guy that probably should get some victories, because he is like an unsung hero of WWE. I mean, thankfully, he did re-sign his contract recently, and apparently that man's getting paid. He deserves it. Interestingly, too, both Pat McAfee and Michael Cole pondered throughout this match going, I don't believe that big Judgment Day loving earlier, which is basically planting the seeds. You may think Damian Priest is going to stay in this thing, but he's not. Uso, of course, eventually hit a dive, because what is a wrestling show without a dive? But it didn't face Finn Balor at all, because he took this guy and he threw him into the ring post and he threw him into the announce table. So I was sad. Why do we always have to attack our wrestling friend? Hilariously, though, Finn Balor then did flex, so I loved him once again, when he got screwed over by the commercial break. When we came back from the advert, Jey Uso was just punching him in the head, and nobody told us why, so we'll have to figure it out for ourselves. Now, thankfully, this one is nice and easy. I think Jey Uso just showed Finn Balor a carb, and Finn wasn't able to handle that. That'll do. Balor eventually got back into this and he went to hit the coup de grace, but as always, he totally missed when Jey hit him with the spear for the 1-2-ooh, when he went for his other move, which is getting distracted by Drew McIntyre, who had come to ringside. Of course he did. It meant that Jey totally forgot he was in a wrestling match when Balor hit him with the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll up for another 1-2-ooh. But then Jey just turned around and speared him and got the win. I was like, I didn't think we have to mug Finn off as much as that. Now, the commentators also sold this like, oh my gosh, it's all gone bad for Drew once again. I didn't really buy that. But look, Jey Uso getting victories is important as he does go on his way to becoming a single star. And it kind of does write McIntyre off TV. You'll see, but I'm giving it up. Then saw Ivy Nile and Zoe Stark warming up because they were going to have a match later too. Then Becky Lynch arrived at the arena, but there was no clock in the corner. So how am I supposed to know what time this was? Then also got a video reminding you that our main event was going to be Gunther versus Sheamus by highlighting all of the fights they've had in the past. And I appreciated this too, because these two guys are like lovers when it comes to wrestling. Or Batman and the Joker would have been better. The point is they should fight forever. When, yeah, I think Drew has left Raw for a while. Because he was super mad at Adam Pearce, going, oh, why did you take me out of the King of the Ring? I don't care about my elbow. When Adam was like, dude, you walked out on the show last week and told us how bad it was. I sent you to medical, and that's when we find out. So we had to ban you, so it's on your locks. Because of this, though, Drew got in a car and he just drove away. And again, it really did feel like he wasn't going to come back for a while. When another vehicle pulled up, and it was CM Punk, and he popped out. He was like, whoa, where's Drew McIntyre? And Adam Pearce basically went, I get it. As soon as he did learn that McIntyre wasn't here, though, he said, well, cameraman, you may as well follow me to the ring, which he did do literally, because we got one shot of CM Punk headed out to the squared circle. I love these production things, especially because when he was walking, you saw Chad Gable yelling at the Alpha Academy. It's a bit like, why would you pick that spot to yell at people? Now, Punk was frustrated here because he had been locked in WWE HQ over the weekend. Just check your social media. But his plan was to come to the show and thump Drew McIntyre right in the head. And now he can't. Given that last week, though, he did talk really quickly in order to match Drew McIntyre's 5-minute title reign, why don't tonight we go a lot longer? Because even though Drew McIntyre has gone away, he's obsessed with social media. So if we all tweet him and tell him to return to Raw, maybe he'll do that. I was like, that's pretty new. I've never heard that before. CM Punk then promised to regale us with some stories as we did wait, as he went into the fact that he was super duper upset that his WrestleMania dream did get taken away by Drew. But look how everything has turned around now, because McIntyre prayed for CM Punk to get injured. But it's now Drew who has an injury, and also who ruined his WrestleMania moment. It was CM Punk. I think at one point, Punk even admitted he was the most petty man on the planet, which made me chuckle, as he definitely started to drop lines in from the Kendrick and Drake feud. And he was the second person that was going to do that on this week's Raw. So we are no longer in the Twilight Zone. CM Punk ultimately thinks, though, that Drew doesn't hate him, and he does hate himself. And when he does come back and they are good to go, as well as his elbow, CM Punk is going to break Drew's face. Now, at this point, we've been going for a while, so it became quite clear the Scottish Warrior wasn't going to show up. So CM Punk said, he fears me. But when he put the mic on the ground, he said right into the camera, hey, Drew, even if I have to come to Scotland, I will. So maybe we are teasing something for Clash at the Castle 2. So I do admit this was a bit weird, because it kind of felt like this CM Punk stalling was because Drew McIntyre was about to come back, but he didn't. But here's the truth of the matter. I love these two guys so much. I think their feud is so good. I am going to give it an up. Slightly worried that we're going to hit pause on it for a while. Fingers crossed. Ricochet was then being interviewed because he is going to be facing Ilya Dragunov in the King of the Ring tournament, when Braun Strowman interrupted and went, hey man, don't focus on me, you should talk to Ricochet. And I was like, well, don't interrupt him then, you goof. He did mention last week, though, and the reason he did get involved is because he was standing up for the little guy because he doesn't like bullies. I'm just going to leave that one there. We then got to the start of the Queen of the Ring because it was Io Sky versus Natalya in a first time ever match. And I tell you this, it was brilliant. I'll also point out that a little while before this, we did see a QR code on Raw, and I wasn't able to scan this because I wasn't making my notes, but I did my research, and it seems very obvious that we are going to have a group dedicated to the legacy of Bray Wyatt, and I think that's massively important because the best way to keep somebody's memory alive is to always talk about them. So that's what we should do. Natty and Io then locked up before they totally forgot what wrestling was because they were punching each other in the face. And by the time Natalya had her in a leg lock, Io just took her other leg and she booted Natty right in the skull. I was like, we are not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Sky then went for her acai moonsault but totally missed when Natalya kicked her so hard. Io Sky basically flew into the ring apron and bent in a way the human shouldn't bend. This was another one.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Iyo was so mad she also hit this super stiff springboard drop kick when she ran at Natalya, who smashed her with a Mushinoko driver for a 1-2. Ooh, we gotta do a rematch. Skye then came back with a submission of her own, but Natty was able to wiggle out of that. But she must have regretted it, because again, Iyo Skye stomped her so hard, I thought her soul was gonna come out of her mouth and we were gonna be introduced to her, and that's not even a thing. We then got a sit out powerbomb for a 1-2 ooh, and this is when damage control were basically causing distraction, and it essentially did work, because when Natalya was going for the sharpshooter, because she had to shoo them away, Iyo grabbed Natty's head and threw it into the ring ropes. I mean, what else could they possibly have done? Skye quickly went to the top rope as well, and she hit her moonsault to get the 1-2-3, which means she is going to the next round of the King of the Ring, or the Queen of the Ring, and she could even win this thing. But in terms of matches on this Raw, this was right up there. You should totally go and see it. Up. Dakota Kai then grabbed a microphone after this and she said, oh hi, we're back on Raw and we're going to be taking over. And I was like, well, you need to have a conversation with the Judgment Day, because one of you is lying. She also called everybody out here, because one, Oscar is hurt, so it'll now be Dakota Kai versus Lyra Valkyria later on for the Queen of the Ring. They're also going to go after Jade and Bianca's tag team titles. And as for you, Becky Lynch, will you watch your championship? Because we want that too. So basically, don't book plans with these guys, because they are going to be super busy. Well, we got this terrific video for Ilya Dragunov, and we're basically telling the same story on Raw that we did on NXT. You can't cause him any pain, because nobody causes more pain to himself than him. Or something. I am so happy that we are doing stuff like this for the NXT call-ups, though, because there will be people on the main roster in terms of the audience who don't know who they are, and even from this two-minute clip, it came across like an absolute psychopath in the best possible way. If we then go by what we had next, I tell you it'll work. Because it was Ilya versus Ricochet, and while I would have been astounded if this was bad given the people involved, it was the total opposite of that, and even though my expectations were through the roof, I actually think they surpassed them. They just smacked the absolute shit out of each other with kicks and chops to begin with, when Dragunov tried to do a German suplex, but Ricochet landed on his feet when he grabbed Ilya and he threw him out the ring. This went crazy though, because Ricochet did a moonsault to the floor when Dragunov grabbed him and did a belly-to-belly suplex, and Rick just landed face down on those mounts and he bounced. That's right, he hit so hard he went boing, and we were only just getting started. It carried on because Dragunov then hit this super stiff springboard dropkick for another 1-2-0 when Ricochet came back with this wonderful top rope Hurricane Rana, and once again I could have watched them fight forever. Ricochet then did all of these dives and finished it with a corkscrew plancher as the commentator screamed into the microphone, oh, you see, he loves taking that old pain, does Ilya, so what the flub is Ricochet meant to do? He was right as well, because Dragunov came back with this horrible lariat and this horrible stomp. By this point, they were both bright red, and I still wanted them to fight, so what does that say about me? They went back to kicking each other in the face as Ricochet landed this amazing lie assault for the 1-2-0, and that's when I realised, in the space of an hour or so, we have totally rehabbed the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments, because don't forget the last one we did. It wasn't exactly very good. Dragunov then absolutely cooked Rick's jaw with this knee, and when Ricochet went for a springboard, he punched him out of midair and he hit the H-bomb. By this point, I was just rolling around on the floor because I didn't know what else to do. I honestly thought that was it as well, but when Dragunov went for the Tornado Moscow, that got turned into the recall for another near fall, and I just stood up and applauded, because I like being weird. Somehow we then got another superplex, because this was ridiculous, where Dragunov hit a final H-bomb for the 1-2-3, but this was of such high quality, nobody really lost here, and I'm starting to think the finals of the King of the Ring will be Ilya Dragunov versus Gunther, and if you know, you know. Strap in, my friends. This is getting a massive up. They also shook hands afterwards, which is when I noticed that Ilya was bleeding from the nose, because of course he was, when we went to the back with Sheamus, because he was ready to kick Gunther's ass. He too basically reminded us that every single time they do fight, they do have banger after banger, and he predicted that they were going to have a banger in the main event. Here's a small spoiler. They really, really did.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favourite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
When it was back to the Queen of the Ring, this was essentially Raw. But it was Ivy Nile versus Zoe Stark, and I thought this was very important because while both of these guys do have massive upsides, they need to start proving it. While this match wasn't as good as other things we did see on this Monday night, I still thought it was pretty okay. Stark continued on the theme of the evening, which was just to murder Ivy Nile with a clothesline when Nile grabbed her and she gave her a delayed suplex. Listen, we could be watching wrestling in 2079. If somebody does a delayed suplex, the longer you hold that individual up there, the bigger pop you get. Although saying that, McAfee was like, oh man, what if she holds her till Tuesday morning? And I was like, well, I can't lie, Pat. Eventually, I would turn off the TV. So we then did a flying missile dropkick because everybody had their working shoes on this evening. And when they went to the top rope and Zoe was going to hit something, Ivy reversed it and she got a super bulldog. And then, yes, admittedly, after this, Nile swung a kick and totally missed Zoe, who sold it. But that happens to everyone and it's how you react to that. And I think Stark went, oh, wait a minute, that didn't connect with me. So she went right back on the front foot. This is good wrestling. For some reason, they both then went back up top to team to the turnbuckle because that didn't really work out first time. And much like Finn Balor in the first match, Zoe grabbed Ivy and she threw her into Tina. And given that she was all wibbly wobbly, she followed up with the Z360 and she got the 1-2-3. So I think in many ways, this was just put in a bad place because we had seen some absolutely fantastic matches on Raw, but it's still all right. It was still okay. And look, if Zoe Stark won the whole thing, I wouldn't mind. She definitely has something. Give it an up. R-Truth was then talking in the back to Adam Pearce because he has come up with a champion versus champion match. I'm just going to summarize it as this. Essentially, Truth thought it would be a good idea to take on the entirety of the NCAA. And that's because UConn head coach Dan Hurley was making a cameo here. And of course, The Miz walked in like, Truth, you are ruining me. When he turned to Pearce and said, we'll get back to you about our next title defense. I was like, why is The Miz deciding? Adam Pearce, you're a goober. Rob Breaker then stormed in as soon as they left, and he was like, why aren't I in the King of the Ring tournament? And Adam was sweating and said, let's talk about it in our office. That's when I go throw a random down in there, because we need better plans for Bron Breakker. And what would have served much better here is if we had had a video package, even though we had had one before. This kind of just made Breakker look like a moaning mini. We need to bust out the big guns. We were then back with the Judgment Day, mostly because Finn Balor was sad that he keeps losing. Thankfully, Damian Priest was like, don't worry, pal, you'll get him on the next one. When Dominic Mysterio walked in with Carlito, and thankfully, Damian was like, why is he here? He screwed me over last year at Backlash. He did. Carlito tried to apologize and said that he could help them with the Gala del Fantasma when he had to go away, because I think Priest was going to kill him. And before all this, JD McDonough had said, hey, Finn Balor only lost because of Braun Strowman 7 days ago. So Priest turned to McDonough and said, okay, fine, you can go and take on Braun. So if you like JD McDonough, I'd endure him. I think he's going to die. When we did get to Bronson Reed versus Chad Gable, a match based on hate. Now look, they only went 5 minutes, but it was pretty awesome because it was essentially one of those, you hit me with a moving arm miss, so you then hit me with a moving arm miss again, or something like that. That was gibberish. When, of course, Sami Zayn just rang and he chucked Chad Gable. So even though this should have been a DQ, I think it was ruled a no contest. Everyone then started beating everybody else up with Bronson Reed taking advantage and laying everybody out when he stormed backstage. Adam Pearce was like, oh, why are you making my life such a misery? Bronson said, I'm not, mate. This is professional for me. So if you want it to stop, you better give me an intercontinental title. Now, later on, we did get a promo with Sami Zayn as well, who was like, what am I meant to do now? Because it's personal with Chad Gable, but it's professional with Bronson Reed. So I'm stuck in the middle when he did make the triple threat match for the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view premium live event. Now, look, I think that thing is going to be absolutely brilliant. When it came to this, I have to give it a down, because as much as I love Sami Zayn, when he did interfere, I actually went, no, Sam, what are you doing? I wanted to see the ending of this match. Hey, look, sometimes the means do justify the end. I'm just a little bit of a nerd. And again, when we get to that show, put your big boy pants on, because that is going to absolutely rule. Gunther then answered Sheamus and said he was full of it because he's going to win this match later when we had a video for Lyra Valkyria. I already told you about this. If you get called up from NXT, you should get a video. I guess it did tie into some degree too, because here to the ring came Becky Lynch, the world's champion. This was so strange because it began with Michael Cole saying, you went to the Kentucky Derby over the weekend and let's look at your crazy costume. Now, it was crazy, but this went on for a very long time. Cole then switched because he wanted to talk about who Becky Lynch would like to face out of the new faces. And look, she'd mentioned a lot of people like Lyra Valkyria and Alba Fire and Isla Dawn and Kiana James. But before she was able to say anything else, Liv Morgan interrupted because she was pissed off that Becky hadn't said her name. Which I suppose is fair enough. Now, I do like this new Liv Morgan because she's all angry now and she ran off her CV because she's won world titles, she's won Money in the Banks, and she's won tag team titles, and yet she doesn't get any respect from Bex and she wants to know why. Now, we never really got any answers to this because instead Becky just went, okay, you could have what you want, and at the pay-per-view premium live event in 3 weeks, it will be you versus me for my women's title. And I was like, well, that is one of the stupidest geese title shots I've ever seen. Lynch then added the stakes because she was all, you've never beaten me, Liv Morgan, which Liv did agree to. But that's because she's never had a purpose before. And if she does defeat Becky Lynch and she does become the champion, it means she has taken everything away from Rhea Ripley that Rhea loved, meaning her revenge tour can end. Get your tickets now. Just to make it more confusing, Damage Control then interrupted as well. Where Dakota Kai made a great point. She was like, you're just going to give Liv Morgan a title shot? That's stupid. It is. Now that is fine though, because instead they're going to focus on the King of the Ring. But as they have made all this effort, yes, we are going to beat you both up. And that looked like it was going to be the case when, of course, at the last moment, Liv Morgan just rolled out the ring, meaning Damage Control got in there. And yeah, they did exactly what they said they were going to do. They beat up Becky Lynch. This is when Lyra Valkyria ran down and looked at Liv like, you're such a piece of trash. And she helped Becky clear the ring. That didn't make any sense either, because it was 3-on-2. Why did Damage Control leave? Now, by this point, I thought my Nan was going to interrupt because everybody else had done, so why not her? And while I understand what we were doing here, we wanted the visual of Lyra stood next to Becky, I don't think this worked at all, mostly because we just threw too many people into one segment. Like, the WWE Women's Division at the moment has so much depth, you can come up with way more in-depth stories than this. Now, I do think we have that with Liv and Becky, so that's how we continue to walk down that path. But once again, this went a really long time, and some of the things we were talking about, well, I don't know what it tied into at all, and it was just weird. And I like weird. This was too weird. I'm just getting it down. Given that they were already out here too, though, it was time for Dakota Kai versus Lyra Valkyria. Once again, I thought this was okay. I mean, much like the Ilya Dragunov match earlier, this was done basically to show off Lyra, although we did it in a very different way, because she just got her ass kicked. But look, there's nothing wrong with that. If you do want to be a good babyface, you need to get sympathy by selling. Dakota also did this crazy stop at one point when Valkyria was like lying on the second rope. She basically springboarded up in the air and absolutely wrecked her back. If it had been the finish, I totally would have got it. Before that, though, Lyra got hers in too because she hit this crazy dropkick and a crossbody. As we know, that is the most pointless move of 2024. It never beats anybody. After that, the 1-2 ooze did start, though, as we teased who was going to get the victory, when essentially Lyra just grabbed Dakota, she hit her Nightwing finish, and she got the 3. That was a very anticlimactic ending. I also think the commentators should have made a bigger deal out of this and been like, oh my gosh, Lyra Valkyria has just beaten Dakota Kai. But instead, they basically went shrug emoji. But look, it did what it had to do. Lyra does go to the next round. Look, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't as good as some of the other matches we had seen. Kofi Kingston was then chatting to us, and as I told you earlier, it made me so damn upset this match wasn't on Raw. He talked about the fact that Xavier Woods was meant to be in the King of the Ring, but he can't now because Gunther killed him last week, and he's so worried about his friend, he doesn't know when he's going to be back at all. I hope he's okay. It does mean that Kofi has to get his revenge though, but first he is taking on Rey Mysterio, a man who is a hero of his and a man who he truly respects. But look at the pickle that he is in, because he now has to put down the Masked Man, much like Kendrick Lamar or Drake. So there was our second reference. He also believes in the three words that fans have been saying for years, which was New Day Rocks. So yeah, this was a really good Kofi Kingston promo for a match that I don't even know if I can see. This was kind of absurd. We then got the opposite of absurdity though in our main event, because holy moly was this brilliant. Now yes, it was another King of the Ring match as we did put Gunther versus Sheamus, and they just went back to what they always do. which was hitting each other so hard that within about 2 minutes, Seamus's chest was so damn red, I thought he was going to fall on the floor and try to put himself out with water. I mean, it was like two wildebeests going at it, and Gunther even tried to hit the 10 beats of the Baldrum, but using chops. When Seamus turned around, I was like, no, you don't get to do that. He just punched him right in the head. Gunther was also backdropped onto the ring apron, and I checked that is the hardest part of the ring. And because the ring general then focused on Seamus's back, his back was bleeding too, and it was completely red. You could see Gunther's handprint on, like, his trapezius. Gunther then tried to break his neck because he is absolutely crazy, and I tell you, I actually do think this is a match that I could watch forever and a day. Like, if I died and I was brought back to life and someone said, do you want to watch it again? I think I'd say yes. Seamus actually begged for more at one point because he is an absolute nut job, which Gunther gave him with these two clotheslines, and the one to the back of the head was absolutely sickening. You actually heard a thud noise. It all turned around when Seamus went for the bro kick as well, and he missed and he got tied up in the ropes because Gunther took the referee, and because Ludwig Kaiser was on the outside, and because he's a massive dickhead, he attacked the Irishman's knee and he injured it. Now, thankfully, the referee did turn around to catch this, so he told Ludwig to go away, but the damage was done. These maniacs then continued to kill each other, but of course Gunther had the upper hand here because he could start focusing on the knee, and it looked like Seamus was totally cooked. Do not forget either, if you can't walk, you can't brogue, which Seamus knew too, which is why he came back with this massive blow to the face. But when he tried to hit the Celtic cross, guess what happened to his walking devices? He fell down. He also got powerbombed instantly for the 1-2-ooh, which is when Gunther transitioned to the Boston Crab, and I started shouting at the TV again. He's not even from Boston. Eventually, Seamus had to use Tina the Turnbuckle to hit the Celtic cross, but he still wasn't able to pin him, which is when Gunther just laid him out so hard, and Seamus just got up and screamed, and for the fleeting of moments, I thought he was actually going to win. He didn't. He did hit this amazing knee to the face, though, and followed it up with a bro kick, but he took so long to make the cover, Gunther was able to kick out. So it was the opposite of WrestleMania 19. Seamus was totally dead by this point too, so Gunther did go back to the single leg Boston Crab, and even though Seamus tried and tried to get to the ropes, he wasn't able to, and he actually tapped out. And given that it is Seamus, I thought that was a pretty big deal. I do think we have to do at least one more of these, though, when we do give Seamus the win. But seriously, stop listening to me right now and go and watch this. It is one of the best main events Raw has had in ages, and it is getting an up. And should Gunther win the King of the Ring? You bet your ass. Which brought us to the end of Raw, which was very match heavy and very much focused on these two tournaments, which I did like, so we do have to turn them around. So I will give it an up. But I also admit at times, did it feel like filler? Yes. Yes, it did. And of course, please do leave me a comment below and let me know what you thought about last night's episode of Raw. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Click the video on the screen, which is Ups and Downs from Backlash, so you can see how much I love these French fans. But otherwise, thank you so much for sticking with me, as these videos are a bit weird. I mean, I know I'm quiet too, but there's people sleeping in there, and they couldn't give two craps that I do this for a living. And now we're whispering, and it's like ASMR, whatever the hell that thing's called. So let's call it a night, and I'll see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.